When Chelsea discovered the affair, it wasn't the betrayal that destroyed her. It was the woman. Young. Magnetic. Mysterious. The kind of woman who could pull a married man out of his own life with a single glance. While most wives would confront divorce, or at least scream, Chelsea did something else, something darker. She studied her. She learned her name, her job, her family. Then she created a fake profile and slid into the woman's DMs, pretending to be a client, a friend, even a stranger offering opportunity. But what started as cyber sabotage turned into obsession, and obsession turned into identity theft. Chelsea wasn't just watching anymore. She was becoming her. But the mistress, Aria, was never who she appeared to be. She had secrets buried deeper than Chelsea imagined, and traps set for anyone who got too close. What began as revenge spiraled into a duel of deception, blackmail, and manipulation so twisted, neither woman would make it out unchanged. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1. The wife, the mistress, and the password. Chelsea Langford was the kind of woman people described as composed. Even when life cracked her wide open, she didn't scream. She observed, calculated, waited. It was how she ran her boutique marketing firm, and how she kept her 10-year marriage to Evan Langford looking pristine to the outside world, even as it slowly rotted inside. Evan had grown distant over the past year. More late nights, locked phone, excuses that didn't quite track. She knew the signs. But it wasn't until one random Tuesday night, when Evan accidentally left his iPad synced to their shared iCloud, that Chelsea saw the texts. Aria. Counting the hours till I can feel you again. Last night was insane. Evan. Couldn't stop thinking about you all day. Same place tomorrow? There were dozens of messages like that. Photos, too. Intimate, filtered, curated like a softcore fantasy. The woman's name was Aria Quinn. Chelsea clicked on her profile and saw the kind of woman she'd always quietly feared. Unapologetically beautiful, mid-twenties, free-spirited with curated elegance. Everything about Aria seemed effortless, right down to the way she angled her smile in selfies. Chelsea's hands shook, but she didn't cry. She took screenshots. She saved everything. She needed more than proof. She needed control. That night, as Evan slept soundly beside her, Chelsea opened a new Instagram account using a fake name, Samantha Cross. A clean slate. She started following Aria's public profile, which was packed with photos from rooftop brunches, hotel lobbies, and influencer collaborations with minor beauty brands. Aria had a following, nothing massive, but enough to feel like a small celebrity in her circle. Chelsea studied the captions, the hashtags, the geotags. She mapped out Aria's world like a digital cartographer. She began commenting under posts, DMing from her burner account. It wasn't long before Aria replied, flattered, of course. Thank you, love. That means so much. You're gorgeous, too. Do I know you from somewhere? Let's grab a coffee if you're ever in the city. That's when the line blurred. Chelsea no longer wanted to just sabotage Aria. She wanted to inhabit her. A week later, Chelsea paid a hacker $300 in Bitcoin to break into Aria's private email. The password was a variation of a dead pet's name, easy enough once Chelsea connected the dots from a tagged post on Aria's birthday. Inside that inbox were receipts, bookings, even a confidential client list from Aria's wellness consulting business. A business that wasn't quite as innocent as it looked. Emotional healing, tantric alignment, executive intimacy coaching. Chelsea read the euphemisms and snorted. Aria was an escort, veiled in velvet language. She felt righteous at first, vindicated. He was paying for this. But then another emotion crept in. Fascination. Because Aria was clever, she marketed her sexuality with precision. Every brand partnership, every curated post, designed to signal something different to each audience. Desire, healing, mystery. Chelsea realized Aria was doing something she herself never could, using femininity as power. And power was addictive. Chelsea didn't stop at reading Aria's messages. She started replying to them. A client messaged Aria for a reschedule. Chelsea responded, professionally, politely, Arya never noticed, another messaged her for a more discreet location. Chelsea offered one, a public bar instead of a hotel, knowing full well she'd be there to watch. In a wide-brimmed hat and tinted sunglasses, she sat three tables down, sipping a gin and tonic, while Arya showed up, radiant and oblivious. It became ritual. Chelsea wasn't just stalking Arya. She was infiltrating her life in real time. But Arya was slipping, too. One night, Arya posted a cryptic story. "Not everyone who says they love you means it. Watch your mirrors." The caption was vague, but the photo was sharp. A mirror selfie with eyes locked straight into the lens. It felt like a message. Chelsea deleted the burner account the next day. Then she made a new one. The first real crack came when Arya showed up at the Langfords wine bar. It was a new place Evan had invested in, a passion project for hosting high-profile clients. He'd told Chelsea he had a late dinner with investors. She decided to drop by, unannounced. Just to confirm her suspicions, she wore a sleek black dress and heels tall enough to intimidate. Her reflection in the tinted glass doors looked dangerous. And there Arya was, seated at the corner booth, laughing with Evan, sipping Malbec like it was her throne. She didn't recognize Chelsea. Why would she? Chelsea had only ever appeared as anonymous names in Arya's inbox, but when their eyes met across the room, something flickered in Arya's expression. Curiosity, then calculation. It lasted seconds, but it was enough. Chelsea smiled, walked straight up, kissed Evan on the cheek and said, "Darling, I thought we were meeting here." She didn't give Arya a second glance, but Arya gave her one. And it wasn't fear. It was recognition. That night, Chelsea found a note slipped under her windshield. No envelope, no signature. Just six words in red ink. "You're not the only one watching." She didn't sleep. She rechecked her digital footprint. Had she slipped? Had Arya caught the email trace, the account logins? She burned the burner phones, switched IPs, but the paranoia remained. What had started as revenge had evolved into something more dangerous. This wasn't just a wife scorned. This was war. And Arya? She wasn't just the mistress. She was a mirror. Chelsea looked into it and no longer knew who was staring back. Chapter 2. The Game Beneath the Glass. Chelsea Langford never believed in karma, but now it felt like karma believed in her. After the note appeared under her windshield, her perfectly curated control began to fracture. She double-locked the doors at night. She covered the cameras on her laptop. She couldn't tell if Arya was bluffing or winning. And then came the emails. They were anonymous. Untraceable. The first was a single image. A cropped screenshot of the Samantha Cross profile she'd used to infiltrate Arya's DMs. The subject line read, "Your mask is slipping." The second email followed an hour later, a video. Chelsea clicked. It was Arya, seated on a velvet sofa, speaking directly to the camera. "Some women use lies to get attention. Others use them to survive," she said calmly. "But when someone tries to steal your identity, invade your life, and weaponize your work, well, there's a price." Chelsea froze. This wasn't a general PSA. This was a message for her. And Arya wasn't scared. She was hunting. The next day, Chelsea received a call from a client, one of her biggest, an ethical cosmetics company based in London. "We've had a troubling tip-off," the rep said cautiously. "Your name's come up in a report about digital harassment. Someone's alleging you impersonated them, accessed private data, and used your position to stalk and sabotage." Chelsea's mouth went dry. "That's absolutely false. We're not making any decisions yet," the voice said. "But you understand we have to suspend all active contracts pending resolution." She hung up, hands trembling. This was Arya's doing. But how? How had she traced it back? Unless Arya had been watching her too. Chelsea returned to her office building, heart pounding. Her assistant Marcy was gone for the afternoon. She walked in to find her laptop open, a sticky note on the screen. "Security issue. IT stopped by. Rebooted, and ran a scan." Chelsea didn't believe in coincidence anymore. She grabbed the laptop, drove straight to a private data forensics firm downtown, and paid an obscene rush fee. The technician, a pale guy named Logan with nicotine fingers, called her 90 minutes later. "Your system was compromised," he said, "but not with standard malware. This was targeted." "By who?" He shrugged. "Whoever it was mirrored your activity. They didn't just spy, they copied. Emails, schedules, browser data. They even accessed your synced devices remotely. Could have been gathering intel for weeks." Chelsea's throat tightened. "Is there a name?" He paused. "Only one login attempt used a real IP before switching to VPN. You recognize the name A. Quinn?" Chelsea nearly dropped the phone. She had underestimated Aria. This wasn't just a reckless mistress. This was someone who thrived in shadow, a predator wrapped in silk and sex appeal. Chelsea tried to imagine what else Aria had taken. Photos? Family contacts? Had she gone after Evan too? That night, she confronted him. "I know you've been lying," she said, staring him down in the kitchen. "But she's not who you think she is." Evan looked up from his drink. "Who?" "Aria." He flinched. "She's not just some side fling," Chelsea said. "She's dangerous." He scoffed. "You don't know her." "I know she hacked my life." Evan paused. "She told me you were stalking her." "Of course she had." Chelsea laughed bitterly. "And you believed her?" Evan didn't answer. That silence hurt more than the affair. 2 days later, Chelsea received a package. No return address. Inside was a single object, a broken mirror. Its center spidered like a gunshot wound. Taped to it was a Polaroid. Aria and Evan. In bed. Evan asleep. Aria looking directly into the camera, middle finger raised, red lipstick smeared across her grin like blood. Chelsea crushed the photo in her hand. This was no longer about betrayal. It was about power. And Chelsea had nothing left to lose. She called the hacker again. "I need access to her cloud drive," she said. The voice on the other end hesitated. "I don't usually go back into the same target twice. Too risky." "I'll double your rate," he agreed. 2 days later, she had everything. Messages, audio files, hidden folders, even deleted voice memos. Most of it was boring. Logistics. Shopping lists. One folder, however, was titled Sirens. Inside were recordings. Dozens. Each began with a male voice. Nervous. Flirty. Seductive. Sometimes crying. Some of them, sounding scared. And Aria's voice. Calm. Sultry. In control. "You know what I want. I need you to wire the money first. If you tell your wife, I'll show her." Everything. Chelsea's blood ran cold. These weren't clients. These were victims. And Aria wasn't just a mistress. She was a manipulator. A blackmailer. A predator. Chelsea's obsession hadn't just uncovered an affair, it had exposed a criminal. She made a plan. She couldn't go to the police, not yet. She had impersonated Aria, accessed accounts illegally. Any exposure would take her down too, so she needed a trap. She reached out to Aria, this time not as Samantha Cross, but as herself. The message was blunt. "I know everything. The recordings. The money. Let's talk. Face to face. No more games." No reply. 3 hours passed. Then, "Tomorrow, 8 p.m., 45 Charles Street. No cops, no cameras, just us." It was a rooftop bar, empty on weeknights. Private. High above the noise. Perfect for a showdown. The sky was steel gray the next evening. Rain threatened, but didn't fall. Chelsea arrived early. Dressed sharply. Leather gloves. Hair pinned back. She took the far seat, back to the wall, eyes on the door. Aria arrived at 8:05. A vision in crimson silk. Hair wet from the mist, no makeup. Just sharp eyes and a smile like a blade. "You look tired," she said, sliding into the seat across from her. Chelsea didn't blink. "You're a sociopath." Aria raised a brow. "Big word for a woman who impersonated me." "I didn't blackmail anyone." "No," Aria said, sipping her drink. "You just pretended to be someone else online, invaded my privacy, manipulated my business. I'm sure a judge would find that very different." Chelsea leaned in. I have your recordings. Silence. Then Arya smiled wider. You listen to them. You're exploiting vulnerable men. Grown men who pay for pleasure, Arya said coolly, who beg to be used, who sign NDAs, who lie to their wives and then cry when someone outsmarts them. That's not empowerment, it's extortion. It's survival, Arya said. And you, you're just like them. I'm nothing like you. Arya tilted her head. Then why do I see myself in your eyes? They sat in silence. The city buzzed below. Rain began to fall. Arya stood. She placed a small envelope on the table. This ends now. You stay out of my life. I won't burn yours. Chelsea opened it after Arya left. Inside was a flash drive and a note. Choose wisely. You get one truth or one. Weapon, not both. Chelsea didn't sleep that night. She stared at the flash drive. One truth, one weapon. What had Arya meant? Was this another trick? A virus? Or something worse? She made a decision. She'd plug it in. And if Arya thought she was the only one willing to play with fire, she was about to be very, very wrong. Chapter 3. The Woman Who Stole Her Own Life. Chelsea waited until morning. She made her coffee, locked the doors, pulled the curtains, and placed the flash drive in the middle of her desk like it might detonate. Arya had given her a warning, one truth or one weapon, but Chelsea wasn't sure which she wanted more, revenge or revelation. She plugged the drive in. It contained a single folder labeled I.O., input, output. Inside were three files, a video titled Confession 1 Move, a PDF named Client Ledger, off book, a password-protected file called chelsealangford.mp4. Chelsea clicked the video first. It opened on Arya, sitting in what looked like a luxury apartment, speaking directly to the camera. This wasn't the confident silk-draped siren she had seen in selfies and on social media. This Arya looked haunted. My name is not Arya Quinn, she began. Pause. It's Emily Ray Morris. I changed it after New Mexico, after the trial. Chelsea leaned closer. I was 17 when it started. Arya, no, Emily, continued. The man who recruited me said it was just companionship work. Wealthy clients, soft power. What they really wanted was someone who listened. Her voice cracked. But that's not what it became. They recorded everything, sold it, trapped us. I ran, changed my name, built something new, something I controlled. She wiped her face. I know what I became. I manipulated men. I threatened to expose them. I built a persona to survive. But I wasn't the only one. The network's still out there. If anything happens to me, this ledger gets released. The camera shifted briefly, revealing a wall of post-its, red yarn, printed documents, like something out of a true crime docuseries. Dozens of names, some crossed out. Chelsea paused the video, heart pounding. This wasn't just scandal, it was organized, a blackmail syndicate, possibly even trafficking. Arya, or Emily, was a survivor turned predator, turned whistleblower, and now, Chelsea, was tangled in her wake. She opened the second file, the off-book client ledger, names, transaction IDs, city locations. Evan's name was there, not once but four times. Chelsea's blood turned to ice. Dates, dollar amounts, one entry labeled, extra discretion, wife's proximity risk. Her husband hadn't just had an affair, he'd paid for silence. Chelsea stared at the screen. This wasn't just about Arya, it was about the lie she'd been living. Her marriage, her identity, the version of herself she'd carefully curated for years, and it had all been bought and sold behind her back. She closed the file. Only one remained, the one with her name. Password protected. Chelsea hesitated. Her fingers hovered over the keyboard. She tried her birthday. Denied. Her anniversary. Denied. Finally, she typed mirror. Access granted. The video loaded. It was hidden camera footage, grainy, time-stamped from 2 weeks ago. Chelsea appeared on screen, in her office, talking on the phone. I'm telling you, her voice said. If she pushes me, I'll leak her client list. She's not clean. I have enough to ruin her. She didn't remember saying that. Then it cut. To her again. This time muttering into her own phone, pacing. She thinks she's dangerous. She has no idea what I'm capable of. I'll destroy her. Chelsea sat back, stunned. The video was chopped, out of context. Sliced to make her look like a calculating stalker, which, in part, she had been. This was Aria's insurance, her checkmate. Chelsea realized the truth of the note. One truth or one weapon. Because using one invalidated the other. If Chelsea exposed Aria's past and the client list, Aria would release this video, and Chelsea would go down as a cyberstalker and identity thief. If she stayed silent, Aria walked free, and Evan would never face consequences. There was no clean ending, just choices with blood on either side. That night, Chelsea made hers. She didn't go to the police. She went to the media. An anonymous leak. The Ledger. The confession video. With Aria's face blurred and voice distorted. A curated story about a wellness consultant running a soft blackmail scheme. Paired with a list of anonymous victims and suggestions of deeper connections, it blew up. Online forums speculated wildly. Podcasts latched on.
Reddit spiraled into conspiracy threads about sex rings and rich men's secrets. Chelsea watched it all from behind a burner account. She said nothing. She did not out Aria. She simply turned up the heat. 2 weeks later, Evan walked out. No confrontation, no apology. Just a cold formal email from a corporate lawyer announcing his intent to separate. Chelsea didn't fight it. She welcomed the silence. 3 weeks later, a luxury wellness brand cut ties with Aria Quinn. Her social media presence vanished. Her website redirected to a 404 page. Rumors said she'd fled the country. Others claimed she was being protected by someone powerful. Perhaps someone on that client list. Chelsea didn't care anymore. She had done what she came to do. Not revenge, not justice, but exposure. And yet, the mirror remained. In her bedroom. A full-length antique one. Glass cracked subtly down the middle. A relic of a better time. Chelsea stood before it one night, robe cinched at the waist, drink in hand. She looked at herself. Not the wife, not the victim. Not even the woman who impersonated a mistress to destroy her. Something new. Something unnameable. She raised her glass to the reflection. To the woman I became, she whispered. The mirror didn't blink, didn't crack, didn't smile. But for the first time, Chelsea didn't feel like a ghost inside her own life. She didn't need to be Aria. She had become her own storm, and somewhere out there, Aria, Emily, was probably watching, smiling, because some wars don't end in defeat. They end in understanding. And sometimes, the most dangerous thing you can do to your enemy is become them.